Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with prayer. We thank you for blessing all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that we mentioned last night, all the unspoken requests, and the ones that we couldn't mention. We lift them up to you. And we thank you for blessing them. Just found out this morning that Brother Gray out in, I think he's out in Africa. He's been very, very sick last week. He's been in bed all week. And so we pray, Father, that your healing hand is upon him, because he's doing a mighty work out there for you. Thank you, Father, for blessing us with your presence, forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness. And thank you for changing the showbread once again on Sabbath day. Father, we want wisdom, discernment, and faith. The latter rain, the faith that moves the mountains, even the butterfly wings. We want everything that we need, must have to glorify you in these last days. And thank you for keeping us safe with that hedge of angels you have around us and all those we love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. All right. I got a letter I'm going to read later before we start the church service, because Brother Craig is preaching this week, and it's a sermon he gave me a month or two ago. It's been a while. He just gave me another. It's a two-parter, and then he just gave me another two-parter, and I just realized I messed up the date on when he's preaching. I thought he was preaching on the January 1st and then the 8th, and in fact, Brother Rob preached on the 1st. So Brother Craig is preaching this week and next week, and then the week after that, we're going to do communion. Unless y'all want me to move it to next week, and we could split up Brother Craig's message. But I think it's good to have the two parts in a row. Oh, Brother G'day is in Colombia. Thanks, Dick. Yeah, I don't know. South America, I guess. Isn't that where Colombia is? It's like the continent of South America, I think. I'm not that up on the planet. So, okay. Those of you listening on the radio and on the phone, we are in Great Controversy, chapter 21. The title of the chapter is A Warning Rejected. And we are all the way down on page, for those of you in the room here, if you want to scroll, well, you just click the current link on the top. It'll bring you down to the, I believe it's the last paragraph on page 387. That says, Governor Washburn of Wisconsin, in his annual message, January 9th of 1873, declared, some law seems to be required to break up the schools where gamblers are made. These are everywhere. Even the church, unwittingly, no doubt, is sometimes found doing the work of the devil. Gift concerts, gift enterprises, and raffles. Sometimes in aid of religious or charitable objects, but often for less worthy purposes, lotteries, prize packages, etc., are all devices to obtain money without value received. Nothing is so demoralizing or intoxicating, particularly to the young, as the acquisition of money or property without labor. Respectable people engaging in these chance enterprises and easing their the consciences with the reflection that the money is to go to a good object. It is not strange that the youth of the state should so often fall into the habits which the excitement of games of hazard is almost certain to engender. And by the way, in the United States of America, I know there's some people here from other countries and that, the gambling situation here has become the norm. And I can remember back, probably right after I came out of the Catholic Church, when I didn't much care for it when I was in the Catholic Church, and that was, almost 30 years ago. And, their bingo nights, it's just gambling. And I knew back then, and I can remember telling many people, since I can just see this, the way the Catholic Church is involved in politics, that eventually this gambling or this bingo night is going to spill out onto the parking lots, and then you're going to have casinos everywhere, because people are going to get really upset that the Catholic Church can do gambling, legalized gambling that's only supposed to be allowed in Vegas. Actually, shouldn't be anywhere in this country, but it's allowed in Vegas. And then when the local mobsters that are involved in Vegas see that the Catholic Church can do it right there in their own hometowns, it's going to upset them. And sure enough, I don't know, about 20 years ago, they started having the rowboat casinos. Well, not the rowboat, but the riverboat casinos, yeah. And they did it on the canals and stuff like that. And they, the only connection to the land was a dock that connected to the boat. And then sometimes when it first started out, the boats would actually, you'd have to get on the boat and then you'd have to go on a small trip. It would go for like 3 or 4 hours down the canal in one direction, turn around and go back to you. I never got on one of those, so I didn't really know for sure, but I knew that they broke free of the dock and they took off. Now they're permanently docked. And then after they got permanently docked, they started the off-track betting. And now that's everywhere. You see OTB. They hide it, because a lot of people, some people don't understand what OTB stands for, and it's just off-track betting. And then, of course, you got the racehorses. And it's all thanks to the Roman Catholic Church spreading their errors across the land. So she goes on to say that the spirit of worldly conformity is invading the churches throughout Christendom. Robert Atkins, in a sermon preached in London, draws a dark picture of the spiritual declension that prevails in England. The truly righteous are diminished from the earth, and no man layeth it to his heart, or layeth it to heart. The professors of religion of the present day in every church are lovers of the world, conformers to the world, lovers of creatures, comforts, and aspirers after respectability. They are called to suffer with Christ, but they shrink from even reproach. Apostasy is engraved, or is engraven on the very front of every church. And did they know it? And did they feel it? There might be hope, but alas, they cry, "We are rich and increased in goods and stand in need of nothing." That's from the Second Advent Library, tract number 39. And think about that. That was written, 100 something years ago, maybe 200? Who knows? It's, it's like in the 1800s kind of stuff. And it's much, much, much worse. I mean, that's one of the neat things about being a Christian. You can see things most people don't see. Because when I was growing up as a young man, and even as a young Christian, I didn't see the apostasy all over the place, especially before I became a Christian. I just, I thought Catholics were Christians. I thought other people were Christians too. I just couldn't understand why they wouldn't come to our church. But now when you have eyes that see, and with those eyes that see, you're not supposed to be judgmental, so you don't get all up in people's face because they're in sin. But by the grace of God, there go I. You got to keep that in your mind that, praise the Lord for the fact that you do understand the truth. But it's absolutely everywhere now. I just got some information yesterday. I don't know if I'm going to do a blog on this, a video on this, or even a sermon on this, but you wouldn't believe how bad it is getting out there. So bad, in fact, that, and it's not just the apostasy in the churches. I mean, I've got a list that's like two arms long. I just got it in an email right now, and I'm going to mess with it later, but article after article after article about animals and birds and fish, crabs, and it's not just happening in America, it's happening in almost every country now. They're just dying all over the place. And, you know, you can't really lock it down and say it was BP, you know, but still, it also is prophetic on top of everything else. And I know that, that stuff that they put on the oil is in the atmosphere and it rains down on animals and, you know, it's, but a lot of people don't realize how bad it's getting. This is one of the reasons they censor certain areas of the world. They don't let Americans take, for you know, for example, can't see certain videos in the United Kingdom. In the United Kingdom, people can't see certain videos in America. They're locking it down like now, so they don't want people to know how bad it's getting all around the world, because then they'll know what time it is. So she goes on, the great sin charged against Babylon is that she made all nations drink. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. This cup of intoxication, which she represents to the world, represents the false doctrines that she has accepted as the result of her unlawful connection with the great ones of the earth. Friendship with the world corrupts her faith, and in her turn, she exerts a corrupting influence upon the world by teaching doctrines which are opposed to the plainest statements of Holy Writ. And that too, that amazes me. Like, this is one of the reasons, Brother Craig, I think, is sharing a sermon that he's going to share today in regards to what he's seeing in the Philippines. And the Philippines is nowhere near as bad as it is here, but it's bad out there. You know, with the way some of the people that claim to be Christians, but just by their walk alone. I mean, just by, you know, and even if you bring them the plainest statements of the Holy Writ, they say, oh, yeah, I agree. Oh, it's like wonderful, beautiful, yeah, but that's it. It doesn't move them to action in any way, shape, or form, just like we see here in America or any other country. They acknowledge it as truth, but it doesn't move them. It doesn't make them realize the danger they're in. She says, Rome withheld the Bible from the people and required all men to accept her teachings in its place. It was the work of the Reformation to restore to men the Word of God. But it is not too true, that in the churches of our time, men are taught to rest their faith upon their creed and the teachings of their church rather than on the scriptures. And this is another video that I'm working on right now, as a matter of fact. This book that's been circulating among Seventh-day Adventists, it's called What Did the Pioneers Believe? It's, 50 pages, I think. Let me see. Yep, 50 pages. It's got a bunch of pictures of some of the pioneers on the cover, and Ellen Wright right there smack in the middle. And what this book is doing is they're basing their faith upon their creed rather than that which is taught in Scripture or in Spirit of Prophecy, for example. There are certain areas of the Spirit of Prophecy that are purposely avoided in this book so that they can preach that Jesus isn't God or the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. And there are Bible verses that when you share them with them, they tell them you must remove those verses from the Bible. They're not supposed to be in the Bible. In other words, their tradition, their creed is what is truth to them and not Scripture and not Spirit of Prophecy. It's just amazing. And this is the norm now. But then this was prophesied too. This is part of the shaking. The Lord is allowing the strong delusion to hit the land to see who is going to be part of his number. He needs people to go out there and do this work that we're called to do. And if you believe all these strange doctrines that the Holy Writ specifically, plainly, as Sister White says, plainly exposes his error, and if you choose, because you want to stay in the church for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, business connections or you love fellowship or you got people in the church you like, whatever the reason is that you want to stay in the church and ignore the plain, you know, thus saith the Lord, well, then he can't use you. He cannot use you to go forth in the loud cry. And as we look around and see all these prophetic events happening all around us, the only prophecy left to happen and the major prophecy left to happen is Mark of the Beast. You know, the last prophecy that's supposed to happen before that is spiritualism is supposed to explode in the world. And just, what, last year and then back in 98, the Vatican is sanctioning Harry Potter when the Bible specifically says anything like that, that wizardry and stuff like that is an abomination unto God. And this is what the churches are doing. Their creed becomes their Bible, and their Bible becomes a suggestion, a book of suggestions. So she goes on, said Charles Beecher, speaking of the Protestant churches, they shrink from any rude word against creeds with the same sensitiveness with which those holy fathers would have shrunk from a rude word against the rising veneration of saints and martyrs which they were fostering. The Protestant evangelical denominations have so tied up one another's hands and their own that between them all, a man cannot become a preacher at all, anywhere, without accepting some book besides the Bible. And this is why, you know, I was talking, you know, like, as you know, I get 20 to 25 phone calls a week, right? And I was talking to a young man the other day about his desire to go into seminary, or, well, Bible college, an SDA Bible college. I says, brother, it's going to destroy your faith. You know, I mean, look 2,000 years ago. Who did the Lord choose to go out and herald the arrival of his son? Did he choose the Pharisees, the Sadducees, or the human printers called the scribes? Did these guys, you know, they copied the Bible by hand, word for word? Yeah. They didn't, he didn't choose, though. He chose John the Baptist. And look at the people that are involved in our movement. I never went to any school. Brother Rob never went to school. Craig never went to school. Any of you others that are in the room right now that share your faith on a regular basis, you don't have to be on a pulpit to do it. None of you went to any schools, but yet your message is so powerful that the schools can't even hold a candle to it. Our children know more than these people that are coming out of these schools. Now, they may be able to quote scripture left and right. They may be able to win in some games called Bible trivia. But when it comes to truth that no man can teach, no. They can't come in anywhere near the people of God. And so when you go into these seminaries or these cemeteries, as Brother Joel just said, because that's what it is, they're teaching how to be dead. When you go to these places, they're going to put before you a creed. You know, and they're going to use the Bibles that they can use that'll help them put forth their creed. Bibles like the NIV, with 2,000 verses removed and another 2,000 or 3,000 rewritten to make them say something they didn't say in the King James. So she goes on, there is nothing imaginary in the statement that the creed power is now beginning to prohibit the Bible as really as Rome did, though in a subtler way. And this is from a sermon on the Bible, A Sufficient Creed, delivered at Fort Wayne, Indiana on February 22nd, 1846. Wow. Again, that's over 150 years ago. Just barely, right? Well, you know, 160 years ago, something like that. It's amazing how even back then, these guys with eyes that see can see this. But like I said earlier, you know, like when I first came out of the Catholic Church, or even when I was in the Catholic Church, or when I even became the first time I came, you know, stepped onto planet Earth as a Christian, a born-again Christian, I couldn't see some of this stuff. And now when you look around today, you see these people out there going to this, oh, this church is oh so good, you know, I feel so holy when I walk in, or I feel the presence of God. Yeah, but when was the last time you opened up a Bible? Yeah, that's like a four-letter word all of a sudden. They're more concerned with going to churches like Joel Osteen's or Joyce Meyer's, where they go in there, and it's motivational speaking is all they're doing. You know, it's rah-rah. It gets you up. You know, it's just like going to a, what do they have, those seminars right before a football game in high school. I hated that stuff. I never went to it. Unless, of course, it was in the middle of the school day and I got out of class. Well, then, yeah, sure, I'd go. But What do they call those? I can't remember. Yeah, pep rally. Amen. Thanks, Gene. That's all these churches are, is a pep rally. You go in there loaded down with sin and you walk out feeling so much better about yourself. You know, you rarely hear the name Jesus, so you don't even think about him. And that reminds me of the confessional of the Roman Catholic Church. It's the same thing, only they did it with a holy, you know, a paganistic holiness, but, you know, still I thought it was holy. Because I can remember all week long I'm doing all this crazy stuff, and then Saturday morning I go into the confessional, spew out all my sins, walk out of there feeling like, man, if I die now, I go straight to heaven. Because I got rid of all my sins. Feel so good about myself. She goes on, when faithful teachers expound the Word of God, there arise men of learning, ministers professing to understand the Scriptures. who denounce sound doctrine and as heresy, and thus turn away inquirers after truth. Let me reread that. When faithful teachers expound the word of God, okay, yeah, all right, so there arise men of learning, so-called, you know, ministers professing to understand the scriptures who denounce sound doctrine as heresy. In other words, and this has been since day one, ever since I left the Catholic Church and then when I started exposing the SDA Church because, hey, I'm going to expose Antichrist wherever he pops his ugly head. And so when I started exposing it in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, well, yeah. I mean, the doctrine I preach is heresy all of a sudden, and then the death threats come, and then, you know, and threats to the home, and it's just ridiculous how plain scriptures, you know, you don't have to be, you know, a theologian to share this stuff. It's amazing how it's so easy to show how, you know, a Bible verse, I mean, it's so plain, it says this right here, and then, but, you know, either that verse has to be taken out completely out of the Bible, or they'll pull out an NIV that's rewritten the verse and says, no, this is what it's supposed to say. And so, they denounce sound doctrine as heresy and thus turn away inquirers, you know, people that want to hear the truth, they turn them away from the truth, she says. She goes on to say that were it not that the world is hopelessly intoxicated with the wine of Babylon, and of course prophecy, you know, wine, doctrine, false doctrine, stuff like that, the wine of Babylon, multitudes would be convicted and converted by the plain cutting truth to the word of God. But religious faith appears so confused and discordant that the people know not what to believe as truth. And how many of us have heard this too? Everybody says their church is the best. Everybody says they're correct. You know, and they look at, and especially Christianity. You can tell right there it's the one that scares the devil the most, because you look at Islam, what does it got? One or two factions? You got Buddha, that's it, one religion. You got Zoroastrianism, you got Kabbalism. You got all these different religions out of there, and they got boom, boom, boom. It's just one or two at the most spin-offs or schisms. Look at Christianity. Last I checked, it was over 3,000 different denominations, and somebody last week shared in the chat room here that it could be 30,000 different denominations because of spin-offs. You can tell how it's just been attacked by Satan to get it to, you know, totally get confusion out there so that no one really knows who's telling the truth. That's why it's so important to get back into the Bible. Ignore what those preachers are saying. Ignore what I'm saying if it gets down, you know, or anybody. Don't trust any preacher. You got to do like the Bereans did. You got to back up that which is said from the pulpit from that which is said in Scripture. If it doesn't match up, amen. Get out of there. Acts 17:11. Thank you, brother. And so the Bereans will double check it. We got to double check it, especially today. I mean, they're coming out of the woodwork. People calling themselves prophets and stuff, you know, and saying, and that's why it's going to get to that point. That's why you're going to get all these people that claim to be prophets and claim that the world's going to end on May 21st of this year or December 21st of next year. Because it's just like with like a comedian. You know, back in the 60s, the comedians could say things that like, you know, you start laughing your little head off, right? And then in the 70s, they had to throw a couple of F words and all these other naughty words in there to make people, you know, laugh even more, to, you know, shock value, you know, to get, and now the thing with comedians is, and I used to like listening to comedians, but now I can't because it's gone beyond the four-letter words. That's a better way of saying it than F-words and stuff, but the four-letter words is just the norm now. That's just their lingo on stage. Now it's blasphemy and ridiculing Jesus Christ that gets the shock value going, and what's going to be the difference with the churches? You know, you got 3,000 or 4,000 or 30,000 different denominations out there, and it's getting to the point where it's really difficult to get people into my church. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to stand out there and act like a prophet. And because they got to get some hook to get the people in. I mean, seriously, if somebody can actually, in Miami, Florida, can walk up and say that he is Jesus Christ and gets a big following, and then he starts noticing his numbers dwindling a little bit. Instead of having 3,000 people in the church, he's got 2,500. So, he's getting scared. So now what does he do? He tells everybody that he's the Antichrist, and his daughters and the people in the church are literally getting 666 tattooed on their foreheads. Shock value. They're going to use whatever they can. And so it's the only thing you can do, and this is why I keep praying. every single day, minimum three times a day, Father, let the signs start to follow your people. They're making void your law. I mean, they're already starting to preach that you if you keep the Ten Commandments, you're going to hell. So they're already messing with his law. And I know when they pass the Sunday laws, we're really going to see his hand move. Because it's prophesied. There's no way around it. And this is why the shaking is occurring. This is why these strange doctrines are popping up. And that's another thing, too. If the people can't get you to come into their church and they want to be recognized as a preacher, they're going to come up with some new light. Isaiah 8:26, the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. So it can't be truth if it doesn't match up with what already has been written. New light doesn't contradict old light. That's just basic truth 101. So she goes on, the sin of the world's impenitent lies. I'm sorry. The sin of the world's impenitence lies at the door of the church. And that's why judgment's going to start at the church. Because, I mean, this is the reason for, and that's another thing too, if you notice, you look around, people say, I don't want nothing to do with religion, whatsoever, because that's the reason for all the wars. Yeah. And it's true. Except for real Christianity. The most passive people known in the history of mankind, the ones who never, you know, like it says in the book of Luke, have done violence to any man, but they're the ones that are the most hated because of what Rome has made everybody think Christianity is about. It's everything from molesting your kid to burning someone at the stake. That's Christianity all of a sudden. So she goes on, the second angel's message of Revelation 14 was first preached in the summer of 1844. And it then had a more direct application to the churches of the United States, where the warning of the judgment had been most widely proclaimed and most generally rejected, and where the declension in the churches had been most rapid. But the message of the second angel did not reach its complete fulfillment in 1844. The churches then experienced a moral fall in consequence of their refusal of the light of the Advent message, but that fall was not complete. As they have continued to reject the special truths for this time, they have fallen lower and lower. Not yet, however, can it be said that Babylon has fallen, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. She has not yet made all nations do this. Now, keep in mind, this is over 150 years ago. Okay, now, the One World Church started in June 26, 2000. They signed the papers. They ratified the papers in the exact same hotel room that they did in 1948 for the United Nations. Yeah, so they always got, you know, how the pagans are with the dates, you know. I mean, just look at the March 3rd, or no, March, what was it? I don't know. I can't remember. 321 AD, what was it? March something or other. Was the exact same date that... In 321 AD, the same date is what happened in 2006. Was it March 7th or 6th? It was March 7th. Yeah, no, thank you, Dave and Juanita and Goran and everybody else. it became law in the United States of America that everyone that has a 501c3, churches or ministries, are now considered official government agencies. So that's what you got to look for too. Not only scriptures, you got to look, you got to check out, you know, especially these preachers that claim to be preaching prophecy and they've got a 501c3. How can they miss a blunt prophetic fulfillment like that? I mean, to help create the image of the beast. Because in order to get the 501c3, you've got to incorporate your church with the state. In other words, you got to be a church and state conglomerate. And then when you get the 501c3, it's illegal to talk political from your pulpit, which means you can't talk about Antichrist now. And so, but yet these guys preach prophecy. No, they're reading prophetic studies and sermons and echoing them on the pulpits as they have been taught in seminary. They don't study or understand prophecy, they just echo it. So, backtracking a little bit, she has not yet made all nations do this. But then when you look around today, as I said, June 26, 2000, the One World Church has begun. And yes, the Seventh-day Adventist Church is a member of that body, whether they want to say, whether they want to lie or not, because we got a page on SDAapostasy.org where we got all the documentation, as well as the fact that they have funneled a lot of money into the World Council of Churches. And so they can say what they say, you know, but then, okay, you know, this is the age of lying. So, but they're all in it now. They're all, except, of course, the remnant people like us. We're not part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We're not part of any 501c3 organization. So she goes on, the spirit of the world conforming and indifference to the testing truths for our time exists and has been gaining ground in churches of the Protestant faith in all the countries of Christendom. So they saw this happening long ago, and now a Protestant standing next to a Catholic, they look like brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, in their version of Christ. And then she says, and these churches are included, I think she's quoting from somebody here, but then these churches are included in the solemn and terrible denunciation of the second angel, but the work of apostasy has not reached its culmination. The Bible declares that before the coming of the Lord, Satan will work with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness. And they that receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And this is that one verse that goes into the next verse that says, and then a strong delusion shall be sent them. And this is what's happening. If people don't want to trust the Bible, they'd better listen to what their pastor say or what their creed says. Well, then a strong delusion is going to be sent their way. Especially if they want to be thought of as somebody that's got a new light. Oh, look at this guy. How about that one guy a couple of years ago actually 3 or 4 years ago. I can't remember his name now. But I was telling people for the longest time, look, he's a false prophet. He's telling everybody he's got these dreams from God, and these dreams and these symbols in the dreams don't match up to his definition as to what the Bible says those symbols mean, if in fact those are real dreams. And everybody thought he was a prophet, and a prophet, he got all this, you know, these wonderful, you know, acknowledgments, and all of a sudden, boom, they found out, he is a false prophet. They're just coming out of the woodwork, literally. He was an SDA preacher, SDA minister. He was having all these, I don't remember, him and his wife were a team or whatever. So, going on. Or better yet, we're going a little over. I'm going to backtrack here for where it says the Bible declares that before the coming of the Lord, Satan's going to work with all those powers and sign language. We're going to start there next week. Yeah, because that's more or less the start of a new topic. And if I start going in there, we're going to be in there for a while. So hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared. I'll be back in a minute.